On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why does your concern have to do with me? My hour is not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it."
Along with what's already been said, it certainly is good to be here. So good to see each one of you that is here to worship God. I'm sorry to hear that Brad is not feeling well and is unable to be with us, but I am certainly thankful for the opportunity to be with you this Lord's Day and to present a lesson to you from the Word of God. If you would, please grab your Bibles and turn with me to the book of John, chapter 2. And be prepared to follow along with me and take along any notes that you'd like as we study the Word of God together. We'll begin in John chapter 2. Thank you for the good reading. John chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. We'll read once more. Notice we find the mother of Christ, Christ himself, and his disciples at a marriage. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, "They have no wine." Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." His mother saith unto the servants, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." I want to look at that phrase that the mother of Christ said of Christ to the servants, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." Sadly today, a lot of people would have you to believe that the words of Christ are not necessary. By the things they teach, the things they do when they live their lives, they are expressing that the word of the Lord is not necessary, is not a must. But I suggest to you that the Bible teaches otherwise. The Bible teaches that we must do whatsoever the Lord saith. Let's begin by asking why. Why must we do whatsoever the Lord says? First of all, because the Lord came to do his Father's will. If you turn with me to John chapter 5 and verse 30. John 5 verse 30. The Lord says, "I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me." In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 9, it says, "Then he said, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." The Lord came to do the will of his Father, that is God, and when we do the will of the Lord, we are doing the will of God. Another reason we must do whatsoever the Lord says, because Christ has been given all power. Christ has been given all authority. In the book of Matthew, chapter 28, and verse 18, it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." In Matthew, chapter 7, and verse 29, it says, "For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." If you turn to Ephesians, chapter 1, the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, we'll look at verses 21 through 23. It says, "Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Likewise in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. It says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Notice, we must do whatsoever the Lord saith, because he has been given all power. He has been given all authority. Another reason that we must do what he says is because we will be judged by his words. If you turn back to the book of John, chapter 5, this time verse 22, John chapter 5, verse 22, the Lord speaking says this, "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." In John chapter 12, and verse 48, The Lord says, He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Notice the Lord says, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. We must do whatsoever the Lord says because we are going to be judged by his words. One more reason along this line. Why must we do whatsoever the Lord says? Because there is consequence, there is punishment that comes from not doing what he says to do. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, if you would turn there with me, we'll look at verses 7 through 9. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse 7, it says, "Unto you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." Notice the Lord is going to come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not, that do not, the gospel, the teaching, the word of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be, this isn't something that might happen, this is something that shall happen, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction. Notice the punishment that we're going to receive if we do not the word of the Lord is an everlasting destruction, an eternal destruction. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, across the page, chapter 2, beginning in verse 7, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." There certainly is severe eternal consequence, punishment, that comes from not doing whatsoever the Lord says. We get a glimpse of this in the book of Revelation chapter 20. In Revelation chapter 20, notice in verse 12, "I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books." We all are going to stand before the Lord. Notice verse 14 now. "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Chapter 21, verse 8. "But the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." We must do whatsoever the Lord says or suffer the consequences. Notice from Hebrews chapter 5, those who are going to be saved, those who are going to obtain salvation. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, it says, "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." If we want salvation, we must obey the Lord. Now notice from our phrase, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it," that complete obedience is required. Whatsoever he saith does not leave anything out. That means anything and everything that the Lord says we must do. If you turn to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 4, Deuteronomy 4, we'll look at verse 2. It says here, "Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish off from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." Notice we are not to add to, we're not to take away from the word of the Lord. We are taught the same principle in Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 6, where it says, "Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar." Too many people are adding to, are taking away from the word of the Lord, and not simply just doing whatsoever he says. And notice the result. When we do that, we are a liar. That makes us a liar. And remember, as we just read in Revelation, that all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. This is the second death. Now, if you turn to Matthew chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7, we'll look at verses 21 through 24. The Lord speaking says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy names have done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." Notice that we cannot be all talk. We can't just say, Lord, Lord, and be expected to obtain salvation. But rather, it is him that does, that takes action, that is obedient to the word of the Lord. Remember Revelation 22 and verse 14, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, that they may enter in through the gates into the city." And remember that several times throughout the book of James chapter 2, it says, "Faith without works is dead." It shows that we cannot just believe, we cannot just say, Lord, Lord, we cannot just practice many good works, but we must do whatsoever the Lord says, and so that we can have salvation, that we can be saved. It takes work, complete obedience. "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." Now, sadly, there are many individuals in the church that proclaim to be faithful Christians. They attend services. They may preach every so often. They may do many good works, and yet they are still going to be lost, the Bible teaches, because they are not completely obeying whatsoever the Lord says to do. And this is seen in their works, the way that they live their life. Perhaps they may miss some services for other events, such as school, work, or sports. They may use euphemisms. They may wear modest clothing. They may commit lasciviousness by participating in anything that leads to lust, such as going to dances like prom. And a good question that needs to be asked is what the Lord asked in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." Now, let's look at some things that the Lord has told us to do. Let's begin by looking at what he has said to the alien sinner, the one who has not yet become a Christian. What has he said to them? If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5. It says, "While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him." Notice we are to hear the Lord. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says, "For without faith it is impossible to please him." So if we must have faith to please God, and we get faith by hearing, then we must hear the Lord in order to please him. But also in John chapter 8 and verse 24, the Lord teaches here, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." Notice he teaches we must believe in the Lord, or else we will die in our sins. He taught in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." But also the Lord taught from Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, "Unless you repent, ye shall all likewise perish." We must repent. That's a change of heart resulting in a change of action. We're commanded to repent from Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. Where it says, "And in the times of this ignorance God winked at, he overlooked, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Remember, whatsoever the Lord saith unto you, do it." Have we done these things? But in addition to that, also, the Lord taught we must confess the Lord before men. From Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, the Lord speaking says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." In Romans chapter 10, the book of Romans chapter 10 and verses 9 and 10, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Notice we must confess in order to have salvation. We must confess the Lord before men. We have a good example of that and how we do that from the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, verses 36 and 37, where he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And we must make that same confession before men. And then, and only then, we can and we must be baptized, the Lord taught. Remember Mark 16, verse 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." We must be baptized if we want to be saved. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, in verse 38, remember the crowd asked Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." We must be baptized for the remission of our sins. Now, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27 teaches us, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Notice that if we want to be in Christ, we must be baptized into him. Now, if you turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. In the book of 1 John, chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, it says, "And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Notice that eternal life, which God has given, is in his Son, Jesus Christ. Therefore, if we're not in Christ, we do not have eternal life. And remember, we get into Christ by being baptized into him, Galatians 3 and verse 27. Shows the necessity, the must of being baptized into Christ. If you turn to Romans chapter 6 and verse 3 and 4. Romans 6, beginning verse 3, it says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Notice that baptism is defined as a burial. Many today would have you to believe, would teach you that you can be baptized by sprinkling on or pouring upon. But the Bible teaches otherwise. The Bible teaches that baptism is a burial. If you turn to Acts chapter 8, again in verse 36, the example of the Ethiopian eunuch, notice how he was baptized. It says, "And as they went on their way," Acts 8, 36, "as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water," notice, baptism is going down into the water, a coming up out of the water, having your sins washed away, to walk in newness of life. And of course, that new life is one that is in accordance to, in obedience to, the word of the Lord. Notice that the Lord has not told us to say the sinner's prayer in order to be saved. He did not tell us to go to a mourner's bench, to go to some priest. He didn't say that we are saved through faith alone, that all we have to do is believe. He did not say that we are saved by grace alone, that we don't have to do anything to be saved. You do not find that anywhere in what the Lord says. Although men would have you to believe that, do not be deceived. That is not what the Lord teaches. But rather, he teaches we must hear him, we must believe in him, we must repent of our sins, we must confess our faith in him, we must be baptized for the remission of our sins, to be in Christ. And when he teaches from Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." We must live faithfully to him all the days of our life unto death. Now, in the remainder of our time, let's look at some things that the Lord has told the Christian to do, those that have been baptized. What has he taught us to do? If you turn to Matthew chapter 5, we'll look at verse 44. Matthew 5:44, the Lord speaking once again says this, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Notice the Lord teaches and says to us that we must love our enemies. If you turn to Romans chapter 12, Romans 12 verses 19 through 21, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. How are we treating our enemies? The Lord says we're to love our enemies. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, something else the Lord has told us to do. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. He says, Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where three thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I ask you, where is your treasure? Where is your heart? The Lord says to lay it up in heaven. And may we be doing that. Something else the Lord has told us to do from Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. He says this, therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. This is often referred to as the golden rule. We are to treat others how we want to be treated. That's what the Lord says. So how do we treat others? Do we treat others the way we want to be treated? Remember, the Lord commanded in Matthew 22 and verse 39, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Are we doing that? The Lord said to, may we do it. But also, from Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, something else the Lord has told us to do. Matthew 22 in verse 37, he says this, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Do you love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind? Now remember how the Lord told us to do this from John 14 and verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Are you keeping the commandments of the Lord? Are you doing what he says? Because if you're not, then you don't really love the Lord according to what he says. We are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. May we be doing that by keeping his commandments. Something else. From 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, we are to pray without ceasing. From Luke 18 and verse 1, the Lord taught that men ought always to pray. Luke 21 verse 36 says, watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. The Lord has taught that we must pray without ceasing. We ought always to pray, pray always, that we may be accounted worthy to stand before the Son of Man. Are we doing that? Are we praying as often as we should, or have we ceased? But also, from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 22, we are to abstain from all appearance of evil. Now that means we must stay away from each and every, any and all, the whole, everything that is evil, that is wicked, that is sinful, that is in transgression to the Word of God, or the appearance of such. Are we doing that? Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. But also, from 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, we're taught to study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We must study, because if we don't, then how are we going to know what the Lord has told us to do? We've already looked at the consequences of not doing what the Lord has said to do. And if we don't study what he said, how are we going to know it? And how are we going to do it? Notice from Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, the consequence that comes from a lack of knowledge, from not knowing the law of God, from rejecting it, from forgetting it, not doing it. Hosea 4 verse 6, it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. May we not be destroyed for a lack of knowledge. May we not reject it, nor forget the law of God, but rather study it, as we are taught, that we may know it, and that we may do it. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Also, 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, it says, Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? Notice we're taught to examine ourselves, to prove, to test ourselves, whether we be in the faith. We must test ourselves and examine ourselves according to the word of the Lord to be sure that we are doing everything that he says and we're faithful to him. One more thing that I want to point out this morning that the Lord has said unto us that we must do. Now, there are many other things that could be added to this list. And I hope we understand from the study this morning that anything, everything, whatsoever the Lord has said, we must do. From cover to cover, if the Lord said it, we must do it. And I would encourage us to add to this list, and study the Word, study all that Christ has said, and be sure that we are doing that, that we may be faithful to him and not suffer the consequences that come from not doing what he says. But also, we must be faithful unto death. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. Remember 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Are we doing that? Are we steadfast? Are we unmovable, always abounding in the Lord's work? We have a good example of this in the book of Acts, chapter 2. In Acts 2, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Notice, these were those that had been baptized. These are Christians. And verse 42, it says, of them, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. May we be faithful unto death, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, always doing whatsoever the Lord says, and never deviate from it. May we be as Mary, who said in John 2, verse 5, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. May we be doing whatsoever the Lord has told us to do. Now, we've already learned what the Lord has said we must do in order to be saved. We must hear, Matthew 17, verse 5. We must believe, John 8, 24. We must repent of our sins, Luke 13, 3, verses 3 and 5. We must confess the Lord, Matthew 10, 32. We must be baptized, Mark 16, and verse 16. And we must be faithful unto death, Revelation 2, and verse 10. Maybe you've done these things, but you have fallen away. You know the Lord has talked to us about this as well from Revelation chapter 2, and verses 4 and 5. He's speaking to the church at Ephesus. Verse 4, Revelation 2, says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come to thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. If you have fallen away, if you have left your first love, you're no longer doing what the Lord says to do. The Lord commands we are to repent. We have a good example of this in Acts chapter 8 with Simon the sorcerer. We learn from Acts 8:13 that he was one that believed and was baptized. He was a Christian. But he fell away. His heart was not right in the sight of God, Acts 8, verse 21. And he was told to repent and to pray to God in verse 22. And that is what you must do today if you have fallen away. If your heart is not right in the sight of God, you must repent, come back to him, and pray to him, confessing your sin and asking for forgiveness, and he is faithful and just to forgive us when we do so out of a pure heart. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, please come forward now as we stand and sing.